Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to another episode of the Believe in Minnesota Football podcast hosted by me, Tony Liebert. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony Liebert and Instagram and TikTok at Tony_Liebert. For today's episode, we'll be recapping the Gophers' shocking one-point loss to the Illinois Fighting Illini and what it means going forward. Obviously, a big turning point in the season, big inflection point. And like most people, I was shocked. It was a surprising ending to the game. It's one of those games that, as a fan, as a viewer, as someone tweeting about the team, I was confident all the way throughout. I was like, yeah, I like how this game's going. Especially in the first half, Ethan looked comfortable. It just seemed like they had it under control. And then it all kind of happened. But a lot of the things we mentioned on the preview episode rang true. Isaiah Williams was really tough to stop. Jerjon Newton absolutely wreaked havoc in the second half when he came back from injury or from the suspension, the targeting suspension, and the Gophers had no answer. They didn't. And everything that was working in the second half kind of stopped working, or working in the first half kind of stopped working in the second half. We'll touch on that a little more, what I mean by that, but just a frustrating game all around. A lot of people had a lot of very various takes from all over the place, but you got to take a step back. And I mean, I wrote about it a little bit on Gopher Hole. This is what I said. I said, if you've been in a coma since 2016 and just woke up, Saturday's loss to Illinois encapsulated everything that has happened since PJ Fleck became head coach of the Gophers. And I kind of think that, because obviously the game itself, it was really up and down. There were moments that they looked tremendous. Daniel Jackson makes a big play. Ethan has one of his best games of his career. Tyler Newbin makes a big play. And Jordan Newbin was running well. It was kind of going everything that you would hope for as a Gophers fan. And then it was one step short. Just like how the three out of the past four seasons, the Gophers have been one game short of the Big Ten championship. They were one play short of winning today, or winning on Saturday. And you see all of those games before, with Indiana winning, with Michigan State, Indiana beating Wisconsin, Michigan State beating Nebraska. The door was just wide open. Couldn't have been more open. Iowa struggling against Nebraska while the Gophers are battling. Or Iowa struggling against Northwestern while the Gophers are battling Illinois. I'm struggling today. Jeez. But get what I'm saying, that it was wide open. It was right there for the taking. You've been in this position before. It was time to actually do it now. It was your last chance. All this stuff we've talked about before on this podcast. And it was just one step short, just like the 2019 season, just like the 2021 season, just like the 2022 season. You had an opportunity and you missed it. And if you're listening to this and you're a huge PJ Fleck fan, love PJ Fleck, wrote about all this stuff, you have to admit that. I don't think PJ Fleck should be fired. I think he should be far from fired. I think his job should be quite safe. But he has to make some changes. This offense is just unacceptable. The special teams has major, major issues every single game that lose you the game. If they don't fumble the opening kickoff, I don't think they lose that game. It was incredibly impressive for the defense to respond the way they did, because that's just two games in a row you're put in an absolutely atrocious situation. I'm curious how much playing time Sean Tyler gets the rest of the year, but you got to feel bad for the guy. But, man, you just can't make those mistakes. And then it's just the first three opening kickoffs, they had different guys returning the ball. That's just not a good thing as a special teams unit. Well, Dragon Kesich might be one of the best Gophers kickers in program history, the rest of the special teams just continues to be a major, major issue. But I also wrote TJ Flexible thing. It's about changing your best, all this stuff. And as someone who is not a TJ Fleck, how do I want to word this? I like PJ Fleck. He should be the head coach of the Gophers, and he should be the head coach for many years to come. But I'm not one of those guys that says he can do no wrong. And what I got so annoyed with, if you've noticed, I haven't been covering the games in the press box, and a main reason is it's a little much listening to all of his press conferences. And that's a main reason why I'm not, because I feel like bother my opinion on him a little too much, because basically what I'm getting at is when he says all this change your best, he blames the loss on himself. It's just the copy and paste same story over and over and over again. Like, I get that's what you're supposed to say, and I get that most coaches have this coach speak, but like, when are you going to do something about it? Like, it's one thing to say it over and over again, but when your actions don't change, that's an issue. And for me, that gets to be a little much. And it's time for him to change. And I do think he can still. And I think he's still the best option for the Gophers right now. So that's why I think his job should be quite secure. And I think anyone saying that it shouldn't be is a little obnoxious, but it's just what's so frustrating is the 2023 season. We all know, I'm not even going to rehash this. We all know that why this game stinks, but some takeaways from the game. I thought Ethan played pretty well. You see on Twitter, it's his highest graded career game ever. According to PFF, he's over the 90 threshold again. And it's just, he's kind of at the point now, especially the last 3 weeks, the Iowa, Michigan State, and Illinois game now. He's at the point where he's starting to look really comfortable, in my opinion. But he's just missing like three plays in a game. And that was kind of this game too. He was 11 of 22 for 167 and three touchdowns. Three of those were probably Corey Kroom's drops that could have been big plays. That's a whole different story, but something about Minnesota receivers and just dropping balls. But he looked really good. He had that connection with Brevin Spanford in the first half. He had the connection with Daniel Jackson for that touchdown. Elijah Spencer finally got on the board with a touchdown. Looked like everything was clicking in the passing game. The first half looked like what this offense should look like. A run-first team, but they have playmakers that can make big plays in the pass game, and that's what it looked like. But in the second half, the biggest issue with this offense right now is they got too cute. They started doing different stuff. Everything that was working in the first half, they just abandoned, which made no sense. Brevin Spanford did not get a single target. And I mean, kind of why I think this game encapsulates the PJ Fleck era so well. That 2-point conversion, man. I just don't get. I don't know if that was a Fleck decision, a Harbaugh decision. I have no idea whose decision it was. Nobody does unless you're on the team. But it's just, once he tries to be aggressive, it just, it It's like he has a switch in his head that he's like, all right, time to be aggressive. And he just goes way too far on one end. Like, okay, go for two there, but don't do a trick play, jump ball to your quarterback. That was just a very, very puzzling decision, play call, everything about it. I would have went for two there. I think going for two there was the right decision. I think the analytics would back that up. And I'm usually an analytics guy. That's just how you should make decisions. If you're making a decision and one thing gives you a better chance of succeeding, you make that decision, just in life and sports and everything. So anyone that complains about analytics a little too much, but that's a whole different story. But the play call is absolutely atrocious. I just don't even... Did Elijah Spencer play QB in high school or something? I don't think he even did. Didn't look comfortable throwing the football, that's for sure. And then a jump ball to Ethan, that's just too cute, in my opinion, especially when you have a red zone threat of Banford's stature. It's supposed to be one of the better ones in the country. And I've seen it in practice multiple times. I've seen it in games multiple times. And if I was a coach, if I was a play caller, those are the plays I would call, because I could lay my head on my pillow at night and be like, at least I threw it to the best player. And he didn't make a play. But now you're laying your head at night and you're like, what was I thinking? I threw a jump ball to my quarterback with my wide receiver. Again, it's even a different story if Cole Kramer comes in and then you got both quarterbacks in the field or something. But it just, football's all about matchup.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
And you want to exploit matchups. And I just don't know what that matchup was. It made no sense to me in the moment. Makes no sense to me now. Difference in the game. And those are the decisions that make people question PJ Fleck's in-game coaching ability. Nobody is questioning PJ Fleck's ability to turn a program around, which he has. Nobody is questioning PJ Fleck's ability to recruit well, which he has in the transfer portal. Nobody's questioning his ability to run a good program. He has the Minnesota Gophers as a good, respectable program. But these decisions that are just atrocious, and you're like, what did you just do? And this one added up. It might cost him another Big Ten West championship. It might cost him his last real chance to make the Big Ten championship. But we're optimists here, and the Gophers still have a road to Indianapolis. So what they would like to happen, and what they need to happen, is a four-way tie in first place in the West Division with Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Nebraska all at 5-4. If that happens, the Gophers own the tiebreaker against all three other teams in that scenario, with three games remaining against Purdue, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Minnesota have to win two of those. Likely against Wisconsin, certainly, and then either Purdue or Ohio State. They would need two losses from Iowa. In this scenario, I think they will. Iowa would. Nebraska is the toughest game remaining on their schedule because it's in Lincoln. And then they got home games against Rutgers and Wyoming. Losing one of those is not that absurd to think. Two teams that are playing some pretty good football. So let's say they lose to Rutgers and Nebraska. And then Wisconsin, they can win two games. And they got Northwestern at home, Nebraska at home, and then at Minnesota. So let's say they go win-win-loss, they're 5-4. Nebraska, they got the easiest schedule remaining, maybe? Not really, I don't know. They're kind of all the same. Well, Minnesota's actually probably the toughest since they have the number one team in the country on the road. But Nebraska has Maryland at home, Iowa at home, and Wisconsin on the road. So if they go 2-1 in those, with two Big Ten West teams remaining, they're the only one with two of the teams in the mix, them and Wisconsin. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. Basically, they just need two Iowa losses, and the Gophers need to win two of their next three, and they'll be in the mix. But we don't know how likely that is. We all kind of see that really all seven of these teams are pretty darn similar. Northwestern just lost 10-7 against Iowa. Northwestern has beaten the Gophers. They have beaten Maryland. They're not a horrible team this year. They're kind of right in the mix. Purdue has beaten Illinois. Not a horrible team. They're kind of always in the mix. Nebraska starting to play good ball, and then they lose to Michigan State. Wisconsin, surprised losing to Indiana, but we all saw they gave Ohio State a good run. So all these teams are kind of similar. So really nothing would surprise me at this point. But when you lose games like you do against Illinois and Northwestern, that for 90% of the game you thought you were going to win, and then you do some garbage at the end, like in both those games, that's just frustrating, because they could easily have won both those games, and they could easily be, that would be 7-2 right now. Oh my gosh. That would be crazy if they were 7-2 right now. But again, that's what makes it so frustrating. But you can't make rash decisions. As fans, you can really say whatever the hell you want. And I'm kind of saying whatever the heck I want right now. And for some reason, you're listening. But yeah, just talking about it makes that game just so frustrating. I'm right where all of you listening to this are. It's tough, and I don't think Fleck's job should be in jeopardy, because he gives the Gophers the best chance to be competitive right now, especially when you enter a new era of the Big Ten, new era of college football. And this won't be an article or this won't be a podcast bashing him, because he just needs to improve. It's at the point you need to change something, because what you're doing is not working. You're running your head against a wall now. 3 years in a row, it's the exact same story. And you've shown you can be a game out of the Big Ten West. Now it's time to win it. This was your last chance to win it, so that's what makes it a little more frustrating. But now it's time to win 10 games. You can win 9, but show us to win 10 and 11. Win the games that you should like this. And I just don't get it. But in a positive note, Daniel Jackson looked really good in this game again. He continues to be one of my favorite players on this team. Just a blast to watch at wide receiver. Really talented player. Chris Ottman-Bell got in the mix for once. He got 2 catches. Great to see him getting plays, getting touches. And on defense, I did want to mention Cody Lindenberg. We talked about kind of how he made his season debut last week against Michigan State, but he was money this week. Played all 72 snaps, career high PFF grade 90.5. Career tied a career high for tackles, 11, and added 1.5 tackles for loss and a forced fumble. So he was all over the field, showing that he is a dominant force at the linebacker position. Still 3 years of eligibility remaining. I fully expect him to be back next season too. So that's a great thing to see. Just thought I'd call that out. And I mean, as for the defense, everyone's going to be like, oh, Tyler Newbin let up that big play, blah, 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 blah. How do you let the backup quarterback drive down the field at the end of the game. And while that all is true, they were put in poor positions. So let's say you have a bad drive there. The second drive of the game was bad. So that's two bad drives the whole game, because the first one you were given an incredibly short field. You had nothing to do about that. Most defenses would let up a touchdown in that scenario. We saw that they let up a field goal both times last week against Michigan State with early turnovers. But you get what I'm saying. They were put in really tough positions this game. I thought they played kind of the same level that they have all year. Like I said, Illinois is a good team. Pass defense wasn't great. I said this Illinois offense kind of goes with Isaiah Williams, and it did. Isaiah Williams played tremendously, and it cost the Gophers. So I don't think there's any big issues on that end of the ball. Obviously, that play at the end of the game shouldn't happen. But there was a lot of things that led up to that. And I don't think it was entirely on the defense. It's just kicking a field goal after the early turnover strip sack was off. 2-point conversion. Those are the two plays that lost this game, in my opinion, because you shouldn't have even been in a position at the end of the game that Illinois could have driven there. Obviously, you make one stop on fourth down, or having a completely different story here, but that is Big Ten West football. That is FBS football. The margins are small, and you don't want to put your team in a position to make mistakes like that, and the Gophers did, and that comes down to coaching. PJFleck's been in now two games this season where I think really just came down to coaching, which is frustrating because you just got to do it. It's enough to talk about. But it's just tough because we could be having a just completely different conversation right now, but we're not. And now look ahead to Purdue. I looked up Brett McMurphy from the Action Network, who does some great stuff. One of my favorite college football reporters. He does his bowl game predictions, which are always pretty close. And he did one, obviously, today on Monday while I was recording this, that projected the Minnesota Golden Gophers to play in the notoriously legendary, prestigiously, Quicklin Bowl in Detroit, Michigan versus MAC team, because that bowl is Big Ten versus MAC. They would play Miami of Ohio. And that put the nail in the coffin for me, that I'm like, that you just can't do that. That just, it's frustrating time. First fan, but it's not the end of the world. Still have the Floyd of Rosedale, still have Paul Bunyan's axe. And if we win both those, if we keep both those, everything will happen around it. This was meant to be a rebuilding year. They can still go 7-5. In my eyes, would still be a pretty successful season. It's just the rush, and you can still build off that. It's not like it's a huge drop off. When you're a program like Minnesota, you're not going to get better every single year. That's what PJFleck said, that sometimes there is down years. And you're not like Georgia. You're not going to win a national title and then always be a national title contender. But it's kind of like 2019 was our national title, and now we're always in contention to have another year like that. They just can't get over the hump the last three seasons, and that's what's killing them. It's killing me, and that's what's killing Gophers fans. But they can still do it. They can do it next year with PJFleck. They can still do it this year with PJFleck. So that's why you got to stay positive. It's frustrating, but still trending in the right direction. It's baby steps. It's patience. But PJFleck has to make changes. Good CEO, good GM. Time to be a good head coach. I could ramble on forever, but we'll wrap it up there. We'll be back later this week with a preview for the Purdue game. As always, I appreciate you all for listening. Row the boat, Sky Uma, and go Gophers.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.